Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, whether it is the world at large, like the divide between the red and blue in the recent US election, or indeed within our own family, the need to thread carefully with your nearest and dearest at Christmas time. We face conflict all the time in many ways, but there are tricks to diffusing conflicts that come our way. And over the course of 3 weeks, Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, is talking us through three ways to overcome differences, and he joins us now. You're very welcome, Paul, to studio this evening. For listeners who missed last week, we might just recap briefly on what you covered. And first and foremost, just because there are conflicts in your family doesn't mean it's dysfunctional.
Absolutely not, Sarah. And one of the things we said last week was actually the absence of conflict may be a red flag to relationships or a political system. So if we are to live and if we're to care, if we're to be involved, there's going to be conflict. The thing is, it doesn't have to hurt as much as it normally does. So just as you said, there are ways to manage conflict. But managing conflict is about managing ourselves. It's about managing our emotions, our words and our actions. And we talked a little bit last week about, you know, bringing down the temperature. So intense political situations, for example, or, you know, very often people will say things, oh, I just saw red in the heat of the moment. Mm. And those things can go very wrong. So these three kind of ideas based in research, based in the literature, will help us to navigate conflict, will help us to live with conflict in a way, as I say, that's less painful. And we touched last week, Sarah, on an idea of dual identity. And this is an idea that basically when we restrict a human being, when we restrict a group of people to one identity, we reduce them to a binary. So when you look at conflict and conflict resolution around the world at a global macro level, one of the key factors in bringing about peace has been this concept of dual identity. So the Good Friday Agreement, one of the core ingredients was allowing people to choose their identity. They could be Irish, they could be British, or they could be both. Mm. Now, of course, there was a lot more went on and goes on in order to secure that peace. But psychologically, that was key. It's also psychologically key in our intimate, in our close and in our family's relationships, avoiding binary. So the idea of avoiding extreme words. So you know that in the heat of the moment, we can very quickly use extreme words like always, never, completely. Extreme words elicit extreme psychological responses. Okay. If we're concerned about polarization, we need to watch our language.
Okay, and speaking of language then, today you're talking about asking bigger and better questions.
Yeah, so if we want to do conflict better, okay, if we want to live with conflict so that it hurts less, in many ways it's about avoiding polarization. So when avoiding getting locked into very hardened opinions. Now, I mean this at a global and at a local level. Polarization isn't something that just happens in politics. In fact, Sarah, I'd go as far as to say that polarization is incubated in the smaller parts of our lives, in our relationships, when we become polarized, when we become defined by a particular question. So one way to manage polarization, the antidote to polarization, is to ask better questions. Because when we ask better questions, we elicit better responses. So it's been said that the questions that we ask will elicit responses in their likeness. So we can elevate a conversation or we can de-escalate a conversation by practicing better and bigger questions. We're shaped, Sarah, our lives are shaped by the questions we ask.
Okay, so can I just give you an example? Do you support Trump? Is that a bigger or better question?
What may be a better way to ask that question is, what underpins your values? What kind of democracy, what kind of a political system do you really value? And if it is someone who values Trump, actually, to get beneath that, What's represented by that person that you vote? Because one of the things that we learn, that I learned very quickly in training as a clinical psychologist, was at all costs to avoid closed questions.
Okay.
Journalists and people like you are generally very good at asking curious, open questions. Our relationships will wither. Our professional and our intimate personal relationships will wither when we ask closed concepts. There's a philosopher, a poet philosopher that I really like, and he talks about the conversational nature of reality. That the reality we live in is based on the conversations that we have. Mm-hmm. The conversations that we have are based on the nature of the questions that we ask. So I know this as a researcher. Mm. If you're not asking the right question, you're not going to get the right answer.
But also, how important is tone? Because if you're asking a question, the receiver of the question might think, this guy's trying to catch me out here.
Yeah, I think, Cormac, so not to assume the tone of a therapist, and certainly not to do that in personal relationships, because that'll get you nowhere very quickly. But also to say, you know, that there are times, of course, when a yes-no question is really important. Mm. Cormac, do you want a cup of tea? Yes, I do. No, I don't. So there are times when it's necessary. But, you know, one of the questions that I really like and comes up all the times in relationship counselling and marriage therapy is, do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Sarah, do you want to be right or do you want to be in this relationship? Right. So that's an important question to ask yourself. So a lot of us will find ourselves, some of us maybe, in situations where we actually want to be right and we lose sight of actually what I want to be is in relationship. The other thing that's really important to avoid is the word but. Okay, so if there's one thing...
I understand that, but...
So, I really respect you, but... Yeah. Or you know, Cormac, you know, you did a really good job last year, but you didn't do great on... So here's one to watch, okay? So avoid but and replace it with and. So, Cormac, you did a really good job last year. And maybe next year we could
You'll
look at your timekeeping. if you want to have a question that deepens a relationship that doesn't alienate people, and we're talking a little, but really, but is a word to avoid. You know, the and is one. So you know, you'll hear people say things like, well, you know, yeah, we're seeing your parents this year, you know, but I want to see my parents next year. So
okay.
Rephrase that. You know, we're seeing your parents this year and I'd really like to see my parents next year. These are not just psychological devices. You know, what they do is they bring down someone's defensiveness.
Okay.
So we get
they're being heard rather than.
We get to the heart of the matter. The point is, the quality of the questions that we ask will set the parameters for the life that we're going to live.
All right. That is a lot of information to take in, but you'll be back with us next week. You'll be back with us next week, Paul, to talk about ditching perfectionism. That will be an interesting one. In the meantime, people will be able to listen back to this chat on the Drive Time website and indeed last week's chat as well. Paul Dalton, Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD. Thank you.